What's up, everybody? It's Ethan Smith of the Locked On Pirates podcast. Of course, it is Monday, July 11th. It's so weird to say July still. This year is flying by. But with that, it's July, which means it's trade season. It's all-star season. And yesterday, the yinzer of all yinzers, David Bednar, was named the Pirates lone all-star for 2022. So me and, of course, Gary Morgan will be getting into that today, as well as looking at the entire all-star roster, because why not? Also, teams have reportedly fielded offers for Brian Reynolds and David Bednar. What have the Pirates said? We'll answer that later as well. And also, with trade season on the horizon, it appears the Pirates' top guy has already shown who he's going to be as a trade asset, so we'll get into that as well and what could happen over the next couple weeks. Thank you for making me your first listen of the day every single day. And today's episode, of course, is brought to you by Sports Card Investor. More on them later, but with that said, let's get into today's episode.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to that Pirates podcast. And yes, for the 8 different people that DM me and asked, yes, Gary Morgan is here on today's episode. Sorry about last week. Things got convoluted with schedules, and things almost got convoluted with schedules again, because Gary is out in San Francisco at the moment, jet setting and doing his thing. So if you guys remember last year, that was me. I was the one that was at Universal and Jacksonville and all these other places, and now Gary has just flipped it on its head. But Gary Morgan is back, and who knows? I mean, every time that Gary leaves the city of Pittsburgh, something weird happens. Heinz Field is no longer going to be Heinz Field, even though for me, that's all I've ever known it as. That's all anybody's ever known it as. It's going to be Heinz Field. I think it's like AccuSure Stadium or whatever they're calling it. I don't know. So if you could rename PNC Park, what would you rename PNC Park?
No matter what they renamed it, I'd probably keep calling it PNC Park. I mean, yeah. If you live up in Pittsburgh, you all know the story of Star Lake. You know, Star Lake was a big amphitheater they built. They changed the name, I think, 10 times from when it was originally launched to Star Lake to today, where it's back to Star Lake. We all just kept calling it that anyway, the whole time.
Yeah,
through all the corporate name changes and everything, we'll do the same with everywhere else.
Yeah, and I mean, I still even know people that call PPG Paints Arena Consol Energy Center still. They're like, yeah, I'm going to Consol tonight. It happens. It happens. But speaking of Pittsburgh, speaking of the ultimate yinzer, as the Pirates Twitter wanted to talk about it yesterday, David Bednar, instead of a bottle of champagne, was given a pack of IC Lights, casually drinking one before he goes on the plane ride to Miami, as he was the lone all-star for this Pirates team, which, to no one's surprise, he was the guy that was going to be the all-star on this team. I know people tried to make a case for Brian Reynolds late, but he just had such a slow start to the year that even me, I couldn't warrant him being an all-star. Hayes is just in the wrong position. I think, I mean, when you're facing Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado for a spot on the All-Star team, it's kind of tough as well. But with Bednar, I mean, we've seen some weird things happening with him lately. I'm happy he's an All-Star, but we saw that whole, like, he was not healthy thing, and he wasn't pitching. Yesterday in the win, thank God for Daniel Vogelbach in the top of the 9th inning, he gives up a moonshot to Andrew McCutchen, which I said death taxes and Andrew McCutchen doing something good against the Pirates every time he plays them, even if it's at the crack of dawn. But do you think Bednar keeps all-star pace for the rest of this year? And what do we expect from him for years to come? I mean, the guy has a ridiculous amount of control, so we're going to get to see him grow for a while.
It's hard to say. To be honest, you know, Jim and I, on my show, we've been questioning his usage a lot. You know, we were a little confused about why you let a guy like that go out and throw 50 pitches one time. Why you pitch him two or three innings almost, you know, at times. Why do you do that? Well, even right now, after the injury scare, well, he's just gone 4 of 6 here. You know, and really, I mean, they were up 4 runs in the last game. They didn't have to use him. So I'm a little confused. They either aren't worried about the injury scare at all, or they're dumb.
Yeah.
But they're taking care of Rowanzi, you know, by moving him out so that he can get a little bit of rest here mid-season and hopefully finish strong. And it's just a mixed message. Like, do you care about their health? Are you worried? Or is it just David is such a bricklayer? Like, they're just like, listen, man, we're just going to beat this horse until he stops moving. And maybe, you know, in a harsh way, that's the way you're supposed to handle a closer in today's game. Because they don't have the kind of careers they do. Look at Chapman now. He's not himself.
No, not even close. Not even close. And the thing that is interesting about the whole Bednar situation is, yes, Derek Shelton has had some questionable decisions with the way he uses the bullpen. And I agree. And when I saw the Rowanzi news, naturally at first I flipped the F out. I was like, what is going on? And then I was like, okay, they're resting him pretty much through the All-Star break, and then he'll be back probably. What series is that we play right after? It's my opinion that we play right after the All-Star break again, because I know we play them tonight, and then I think we play them right after the All-Star game.
The likelihood is he's going to be gone for about 3 weeks at least. And
yeah,
I say that because 3 weeks, I think, will get them past the Super 2 threshold with him.
And which we know is probably one of the real reasons they're doing it.
No, it's the real... I mean, you're right about, like, the demotion aspect of it. That's why. So that they can achieve the Super 2. But not the resting part. The resting part is because he didn't throw a competitive baseball in 2020. He only pitched 61 innings in 2021 and had some arm problems, specifically his elbow and forearm strain. So you're going to be really careful with that kid. Yeah, they did have a pre-planned break for him built in here around the All-Star break, where it'll probably cost him to miss maybe 2 or 3 starts and get shut down a little bit and maybe be able to finish strong. Because you don't want him running out of gas in August, or else he sits around for an extra 2 months while everyone else is still competing and heads into spring at a disadvantage. So you do have to handle him carefully there. That said, these are greedy businessmen. If they can get something, they're going to get something, and they're going to get the Super 2 out of this. The other way they could have handled it is to just put him on the IL with arm fatigue, and that way he continues to accrue time. He gets, you know, paid a major league, you know, amount of money. You know, you can have your opinions on whether that's right or wrong. But it's business.
I attribute a lot of it to maybe possibly the front office learning what happened last year with JT Brubaker, who I remember at the beginning of the year last year, me and you were talking about Brubaker and how good he was doing. And then by near the end of the year, around August, he was unpitchable just because he didn't get a break. He was coming off of the 2020 truncated season. And then maybe this is something where it's like, as you mentioned, Contreras really hasn't played that much before this year. And then even before that, he was being used as a relief pitcher, as we all remember. So then he shifted from pitching 61 innings in 2021, not pitching in 2020, to being a relief pitcher to begin the year, to go back down to AAA and start pitching again, and then come up and be asked to pitch every 5 days. So
yeah, if you want to crap on them, that's where to do it. He was a major league pitcher all year. He really should have been. And they chose to waste some of his precious few innings, which they knew. I guarantee the kid's not going to cap 120 this year.
No, not even.
So, well, because that would be doubling what he did last year, right? So 120 innings is where I think they'll probably stop. They knew that. So why waste 20 of them in Indianapolis?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like 20 innings. Yeah. his thing right now is naturally he usually gets to about five, if I'm not mistaken, sometimes less than that. And right now, I believe he is already at 50. So that means if we're putting him at a 120 cap, that's 70 innings.
Yeah, and that's me putting him at a 120 cap. Doubling their an inning mix is that's
not easy.
Not something that's done a lot. Quintana, for instance, I don't think we'll get into this later, I'm sure, is probably not going to stay here. And I would think if he was, they would be starting to get worried about his inning count right now.
Well, we'll see. And you bring that up. And before we do get into Quintana and all of that wonderful stuff about him and the Pirates' plans at the trade deadline, today's episode, of course, is brought to you by the wonderful people over at Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product that I use literally every day, and I used it right before I got on this podcast. And, you know, I don't have time. I want a better gut health, more energy, an optimized immune system. I hate taking pills and vitamins, and I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great and wanted to see what all the hype was about. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things you need for a perfect day. It's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar, has no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or artificial anything, while still tasting phenomenal, and it supports better sleep quality and recovery and supports mental clarity and alertness. It's the one thing with the best with the best things. And Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes to lead health experts. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every single day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. So go to athleticgreens.com/MLB Network and take ownership of your ultimate daily nutritional insurance today. So, naturally, the Pirates are sellers at the deadline again. Sellers, from what I've told people. Because some people were like, that I've talked to, these are friends, like people who listen to the podcast, videos, chats, you know, stuff like that.
Uncle June, I get it.
Yeah. The Pirates should be trading everybody again. And I say, why? Well, look at their record. They're not that good. I'm also like, yeah, go look at their farm system and look what they have coming up next year. What happened in 2020 and 2021, for the lack of better words, whenever the Pirates just blew everything up with Josh Bell, Musgrove, Taillon, and that whole deal, I think that instilled something in the heads of people who are not Pirates fans that said, okay, well, right now, looking at the top players on Baseball Reference like I am right now, Bednar, Reynolds, Hayes, and a couple other guys. Naturally, most people just say the Pirates should trade all those guys. But when you keep in mind that the Pittsburgh Pirates have so much control on their top players right now, and this is something me and Gary have talked about ad nauseum ever since he's been on this podcast, about the amount of team control that this team has on guys, it's very hard to justify seeing them trade a guy like David Bednar or Brian Reynolds. And 9 times out of 10 right now, it's not going to happen. I mean, we already saw what Reynolds' asking price was last year. It just so happens to be a guy who's on the freaking All-Star team from Seattle. Remember when that was a thing? Oh, Reynolds for Julio Rodriguez. And I guarantee you there's probably some people out there that would probably prefer that. And, I mean, if he would have turned out the same, sure. But there was no guarantee that he would. But who's to say that the asking price for a guy like Reynolds or Bednar has even changed at this point? Because they're still relatively, I mean, obviously, relatively good players.
Reynolds is in the process right now of proving that a down start for him doesn't mean he's going to have a down season. So if anything, I'm more impressed with Brian Reynolds right now than I was before we went into this season. Because he's shown that that star is always going to be there in some degree, just like Kutch. Didn't always have the best season, but there was always that star level. That's what I think Brian Reynolds is right now. That makes me feel really comfortable. And they have control of him for another couple years. I mean, they're not trading him.
No.
And there's no sum anybody's going to be able to match. Like, if you're thinking about asking another team for their top, their two players that are in the top 100, they're not going to do it. I mean, prospects are prospects, but they're valuable to everyone.
You know? Yeah.
So I'm not worried about moving any of those pieces. The Pirates are always going to be, to a degree, sellers, though. There's different ways they could be sellers, Ethan. Like, they could go to a team like Miami, and they could say, go after somebody like Lopez, who the Marlins probably want to move. They have another couple pitchers coming. Lopez has controlled for years. They don't have to get Brian Reynolds from us just because they're interested in it. They need an outfielder. And, boy, we've kind of shown we've got some of those, haven't we? Maybe go and offer, like, a Travis Swaggerty. People don't think about that stuff. Prospects can get you players, too, and the Pirates are going to need a veteran pitcher, especially after they move Quintana.
Yeah, and the whole thing with Quintana as well is, as I've mentioned to you before, I see the benefit in both sides of either keeping them or trading them. If you trade them, you get something out of it. If you keep them and maybe extend them, keep a veteran pitcher on your staff. Now, that's not going to do it right now for the Pirates. I think it would be fruitful for them to possibly keep Quintana, but there's also no guarantee that he comes back in 2023 and has a Tyler Anderson on the Dodgers-esque season like he's having right now. So, I mean, Quintana, I think, is the clear-cut guy. I think it's like, okay, the Mets need pitching. The Phillies probably need pitching. Even the Braves, at some point, might even flirt with the idea of pitching. The Yankees are probably going to add. The Dodgers are going to definitely add pitching because they need it badly. And what I was saying to the Locked On Reds guys on Friday, if you go back and watch that episode, everybody, Luis Castillo is probably the guy that's going to set the market for pitching right now, as far as we know. Whoever goes and gets him, there's going to be a whole nother set of teams now that are going to say, well, we lost out on Castillo. Who's next?
Yeah, he's going to be up there, but I don't know. Quintana, he could probably get his own little bidding war. I mean, a lot of teams will find it attractive that there's only this year of control. So they're not marrying some bigger contract that they have to deal with. They're not marrying some young enough to re-sign type player that you are going to, you know, feel hard done by losing right away. So Quintana could get his own kind of little separate tier where he has people bidding for him. I still think nothing's going to fall until players like Castillo do. But... I think Quintana could probably wind up getting more than his value says on paper.
Which would be nice.
To move him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you saw him pitch. Yeah, he did pitch yesterday, right? Sorry, everything's like all over the place right now with like what happened in that game yesterday. You had beach balls, balloons, balls this close to being fair or foul in the right field line. But, I mean, the thing is that I've heard from people about Quintana and that I've even made my own inference on about Quintana is even in the bad games, because he's a veteran, he still finds a way to get things done. And that's what's going to be attractive to teams, I think, is when you move – like if the Pirates do move him, say they move him to the Mets, they have a guy who can get you five quality innings against a team like Atlanta, against a team like the Dodgers, against like those kind of teams. And that's what – he's going to bring you for the most part. I mean, you saw it with Tyler Anderson.
Well, that's where this stuff gets tricky, though, because, you know, we alluded to it a little bit earlier when we were talking about Rowanzi. Well, Quintana's getting up there on innings count, too. Look at his recent history. He did not throw a lot of pitches for a few years, and then all of a sudden he's back up this year. you got to be questioning how much he's going to have left in the tank. He's a veteran, so he probably knows how to take care of his body and how to stretch himself out and everything. I'm not saying it's a major, major concern, but if I'm thinking it at my level, I'm pretty sure Ben Charrington's thinking it at their level, especially since they're doing what they're doing with Rowanzi for that exact reason. You got to think other GMs probably have that on their mind too, and that might drive his value down a little bit as well.
Yeah, and it's hopefully won't for the sake of them trading him. Hopefully it won't, but yeah, I mean, if me and Gary are thinking, oh, his innings count is pretty high, what do you think the scouts and the general managers of other teams are doing when they're looking at Quintana? That's probably the first thing they look at. How many innings has this guy pitched already? They could probably care less about your ERA. Oh, he plays for the Pirates. His ERA doesn't matter. Which, for the most part, ERA at this point, to some people, doesn't actually matter anymore. I mean, wins and losses sure as hell don't. I'll be honest with you on that. But before we continue this Quintana talk and everything, I'm even going to pitch to Gary about some other guys that could be on the move that I wouldn't mind seeing possibly get the Pirates back something. But before we do that, you guys collect cards, I'm assuming. I don't know, Gary, if you were ever into the card collecting scene with baseball, football, basketball, hockey, anything like that. Well, Sports Card Investor app, best thing that you could do for this entire world of sports cards. Welcome to the world of sports cards reimagined. The Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. You can quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love. Available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, the Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for baseball fans. It is completely free. You can easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. You can also check the latest values of your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts and find the best prices and buy directly through the app with our eBay Deals feature. For Pirates fans, Jack Sawinski has been in the top 10 in terms of price increase for like the last like 30 days. I don't know why, but you guys seem to be liking the Jack Sawinski card. Are you interested in breakout stars or prospects debuting, nostalgic and old players, or even just interested in getting into sports card in general? Well, the Sports Card Investor app is where to do it. So download the Sports Card Investor app today, available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportsinvestor.com/lockedon. So we talked about Quintana already. You could probably make a pretty good list of the guys the Pirates will not be trading, like, definitely. And there's a lot of guys on that list. I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody listening to this podcast right now that there is a lot of guys on that list because of the fact of the control, the young players. But then you look at a guy like Daniel Vogelbach, for instance. He's been a serviceable DH for the Pirates. He's done pretty well. He's killed his former team in the Brewers, I swear. It's like when McCutcheon and Vogelbach play each other now, and the Brewers and the Pirates are just one-upping each other, which that picture of him and Rowdy Tellez the other day was iconic.
I think we can stop pussyfooting around about Daniel Vogelbach and like saying he's been good, but like making sure you back up. I don't think he's good, but
yeah,
dude, the guy's got almost an 800 OPS.
Oh yeah, he's playing well.
With 12 home runs. I mean, he's a DH. Every bit of it, he's actually arguably one of the better ones in the league right now. So, let's call spade a spade. Just for saying that, we don't have to be acting like it's going to last for 15 years and he's going to be the Babe Ruth that he looks like. It's going to be, he's good right now. No ifs, ands, or buts. He should be in the lineup every day. He should be hitting right where he is. He's productive.
Yeah, and do other teams possibly think that he could be an asset to have, especially because he's on the 1 year of control like Quintana is?
Well, he's got a really cheap option for next year, so he's really on a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Because it's a team option, and it's dirt cheap. I think he's eminently movable. I think he's valuable. I think he'd probably be more valuable to the Pirates at least until they get more of their position players up here and start seeing them be a little more productive. But if they want to move him, I'm probably not going to weep. You know, I would like a DH that can play in the field as well, so that yeah. spot could be more of a rotating rest spot for players. But right now, man, I'm hard-pressed to give you a reason to get rid of him because I don't think he's going to return enough to bother.
Yeah, and he's doing very well, as you mentioned right. already. And he's just fun to watch, too. And one of the things that very much impresses me about Vogelbach is during the game yesterday, Hayes gets a leadoff double. And he went up there, and he would look at Vogelbach and be like, okay, this guy's going to just try to mash one into the stands. No, just hit it to the first baseman, gingerly ran down the line, got Hayes to third. What ended up happening? They score a run. He's a very good guy in good situations. That's what I like about what I've seen from him so far. And if I had to throw other names out there that are kind of like, if you trade them, nobody's going to like cry about it, but they kind of, again, like you mentioned, offer more to this team. Ben Gamel is another guy like that too, I think. I think like if you trade him, he has like value to another team, but to this team, it's his value is just much higher, I would think.
Yeah, Ben Gamel's a tough one to let go of, but there's probably going to be a market for a lefty stick for somebody. It's Pirates have so many left-handed bats, it's really hard to go to even think about people that don't have a lot of lefties they can throw out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably a valuable commodity to somebody. In the outfield, to be honest, a little break from Ben Gamel. I still love his hustle and everything. But the little break from Ben Gamel, I think what I saw is the outfielders playing a little bit more within themselves. So there was less diving and turning that single into a double or that double into a triple. Yeah. You know, and again, love the hustle. I'm not going to talk out of both sides of my mouth with him, but maybe I'm okay with him being moved, especially in light of what I'm starting to see now.
Yeah, and I mean, another guy, as you mentioned already earlier, at this point, too, with the prospects that you have, you mentioned Travis Swaggerty. If you're not going to use these guys, get something for them. Like, at this point, I think the Pirates are getting to the point in the rebuild where they can firmly start using some of these prospects for holes in the roster. I mean, would anybody really be super upset if the Pirates traded Travis Swaggerty and maybe packaged him with another prospect to go get, like, a starting pitcher?
If Travis Swaggerty becomes a star, yes. If not, no.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, and it would be totally on freaking brand for him to go somewhere else and be an all-star, just because that's usually what apparently happens to the Pirates is people leave here and then all of a sudden they turn into the greatest thing ever to man, right. Clay Holmes. But other guys, too. I mean, Chris Stratton, I think, still a guy that they can move on from. But I'm very hesitant on trading bullpen arms just because of how Shelton has managed them. It just scares me that if they trade even one of these guys, I'm like, Jesus Christ, Bednar's going to have to pitch like 5 innings after the starter comes out because who else are you going to throw out there? I mean,
still have some more that are coming back here in the second half, like Mears and potentially Cederlund. I know he had a little setback not long ago, but still sounds like he's getting back on track. You know, you got to find room for Cody Bolton this year. You got to find room for Mike Burrows towards the end of the year. I think he's going to force his way up here. There's going to be room. There's going to be things that happen. I'm not that concerned about trading anybody from the bullpen. In fact, if I were them, I'd be looking for somebody that might be really peaked on Dwayne Underwood Jr. He's hitting 98 miles an hour now. His stuff is filthy. He's had control issues, but when he irons them out, as he has here in Pittsburgh from time to time, he's a very effective pitcher. But I think they threw his arm off last year, and I would move him before it becomes our problem instead of someone else's.
Very true. And Gary, you already know, man, it's that wild part of the year where I'm going to be like waking up at 1 a.m. and something's going to be like, oh, yeah, the Pirate. the Pirates traded Dwayne Underwood Jr. for this and this and this, and then I'm going to have to stay up for like 4 hours trying to figure out who the prospects are. But it's that time of the year. It's a fun time. David Bednar is an all-star in L.A. And final thoughts, by the way, what are your thoughts on those all-star jerseys? I've heard mixed feelings.
I don't know, man. I didn't really dig them. And I didn't really like the 4th of July hats either.
They were awful.
God-awful. Whoever they got to design, it feels like we're trying real hard to throw back to the 90s, and we don't need to look like Trapper Keepers.
One easy fix for the All-Star game, just let the guys wear their jerseys. It just looks better. It really does. In baseball especially, just let the guys wear their jerseys. Like Bednar, yeah. Let them wear their alternate jersey. Have some popping color out there. For teams that have City Connect, hey, screw it. Your All-Star can wear the City Connect jerseys, but not those horrific San Diego Padres ones. Sorry, Javi. Anyways, with that said, guys, Gary comes back. Oh, well, we have breaking news, too, that center field prospect Drew Waters. Wait, what in the world? It's Atlanta and Kansas City. It's a bunch of stuff. I just saw Drew Waters and money. Anyways, with that said, guys, Gary will be back next Monday. Later today, we will be on with the man across the pond, Peter Pratt, over at Locked On Marlins to preview that series as the teams meet for the first time. Gary, have fun in San Francisco. I will have fun in Savannah, where it's slated to rain all the way through next Wednesday. With that said, guys, thank you so much. See you later in the afternoon before the Pirates-Marlins game. And, guys, have a wonderful Monday morning, and I will see you this afternoon.